Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a woman has been taken to hospital following a crash near Glendies earlier today. A formal complaint is to be launched this week to the EU on behalf of defective block homeowners in a bid to increase pressure on the EU Commission to take action against the Irish state on the defective concrete crisis. It's been confirmed that the HSE is to hold a meeting to discuss the future of the Letterkenny Counselling Service. And there were 10,500 fewer patients on hospital waiting lists in the North West at the end of 2023. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Aisling Kelly, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news, a woman has been taken to hospital following a crash near Glendies this afternoon. Gardaí and emergency services were at the scene of the single car road traffic incident on the Ardra Road, which occurred at around 2 o'clock. The woman was injured at the scene and was transferred to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment to injuries sustained. The road has since reopened. A formal complaint is to be launched this week to the EU on behalf of defective block homeowners in a bid to increase pressure on the EU Commission to take action against the Irish state on the defective concrete crisis. The publishing of a report from EU Parliament following a mission to Donegal in November to see firsthand the impact on homeowners is imminent. A group of affected homeowners initially presented to the EU Parliament Petitions Committee back in 2021. Joe Morgan, a defective block campaigner who is leading the EU escalation, says intervention from Europe is vital.
We've been working on this complaint for quite a number of months now, and very purposely have lined it up to coincide with the publication of a report coming from the EU Parliament, which is off the back of their visit in November 2023. And the idea is to engage the EU Commission and have them get directly involved and apply political pressure on the Irish government to, one, ensure market surveillance in Ireland is effective, because both national bodies and ourselves have been saying for quite some time that it is currently ineffective. And secondly, we would also like the EU Commission to have a say in relation to the current parameters of the redress scheme.
And there was some hope when we did learn initially of the EU Commission getting involved in this, and of course, as you mentioned, their mission. But years are going on and on, and obviously yourself as a homeowner, nobody can wait any longer.
That is true. The wheels of politics do turn slowly. But that said, it is our primary objective in terms of the EU engagement to ensure that the next generation, our children and the children of families across the island, are not in the same position that we are in. It is worth the effort and the time in order to make sure that market surveillance in Ireland is up to scratch, and that products cannot enter the marketplace that are not fit for purpose. So that is our primary. Now, as a secondary, and we're encouraged by what we believe to be the report that is due imminently from the EU Parliament, that it speaks actually in quite a length as to the parameters of the current redress scheme. So equally, we're hoping that there is stipulations within EU human rights regulation, which we feel can be called to play in relation to insisting that the Irish government do adjust the parameters of the existing redress scheme.
Emergency services are at the scene of a suspected explosion in Dublin. It happened on Little Britain Street. The alarm was raised shortly after 3:30 this afternoon, and a number of residents have been evacuated. Traffic restrictions are in place, and Dublin Fire Brigade is currently managing the scene. It's been confirmed that the HSE is to hold a meeting to discuss the future of the Letterkenny Counselling Service, currently operating from the Raphoe Diocesan Centre. If money to fund a full-time director is not made available, then the service will cease to operate from March. There are currently 120 people availing of the vital service, with hundreds more on a waiting list. The issue was raised in the Dáil again, this time by Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty, who told Minister of State Mary Butler that the closure of the service would be devastating.
I want to raise the important issue and sensitive issue of the closure of the Letterkenny-based child and adolescent counselling service. It's the only one, Minister, that is in our county. It's a vital service. It provides services right across the county, and not just in Letterkenny but elsewhere. There's 120 clients availing of counselling service at any time, with hundreds on the waiting list, and it's been delivering a service since 2010 across the county and has huge support It is where many of the families of the Chrysler tragedy turned to, those who were victims themselves, families of the victims. I spoke to one mother who lost her beautiful daughter in the Chrysler tragedy. I know that she was in contact directly with yourself as well. She talks about the support that she and her family get from this. And the fact that that service now is in a wind-down mode because they have been refused core funding is devastating to anybody who's availing of counselling service. Anybody who's gone through counselling knows the impact that it has on you, maybe not knowing that the counsellor will be available to you in the next number of weeks or the next number of months. We've asked that the HSE and TUSLA directly engage, and I'll finish on this point. TUSLA has, can I ask, has the Minister had a chance to intervene up until now, and can you shed any light on this?
Well, in response, Minister Butler confirmed that funding would be provided by her department, similar to what was allocated in 2023.
I do understand how important this service is. I have spoken to those using the service, those who were involved in setting it up. Other colleagues of yours had a meeting with Minister McConnell yesterday as well. And I was in contact with Dermot Morgan, who's the chief officer in the area. So yesterday when I spoke, I wasn't after receiving the briefing. But where we are at the moment is a meeting has been scheduled by the HSE to review the requests received from the RAFO Diocesan Pastoral Services, and consideration will be given to all the issues arising, taking particular cognizance of the impacts on the service users. It covers primary care, social inclusion, TUSLA and mental health. Now, my budget last year, the mental health budget, did provide $56,428 for a waiting list initiative, and we'll look at that again. But I will stay over the details of this, working with everybody. It's a hugely important service, and I was very much struck by somebody bereaved by the Chrysler tragedy that she reached out personally to my office.
Thank you.
The current director of the counselling service, however, has given a cautious welcome to a commitment from TUSLA that it will work to maintain it in Letterkenny. The Child and Family Agency has vowed to continue to work to help the service resolve current financial operational issues and to develop a sustainability plan. Liam Cannon says there is still a long way to go.
Well, you know, I think, as I said when I read the statement, it gave me a bit more confidence. Certainly we're not secure by any means. Because there's a number of steps to go through before we can actually have that guarantee from any state body here at the moment, like the HSE or TUSLA. And, you know, they're going to have to look at, as I said, the governance, the overall structures.
There were 10,500 fewer patients on hospital waiting lists in the North West at the end of 2023. That's according to Health Minister Stephen Donnelly in an update released on progress made to address hospital waiting lists across the region. Tom Douglas has more.
There was a 13% reduction in the number of patients on outpatient waiting lists at Letterkenny University Hospital at the end of last year, equating to 2,200 fewer people. Meanwhile, 2,500 less patients were waiting over 12 months for an outpatient appointment at the hospital, a reduction of 45%. In terms of the number awaiting an inpatient or day case procedure, there were 750 fewer patients, down 33%, and 55% less patients were waiting over 12 months for treatment. There was also a reduction in the number of patients on waiting lists at Sligo University Hospital. The number on an outpatient waiting list was down 21%, while there were 36% less people waiting longer than 12 months for an outpatient appointment, and a 28% reduction in patients waiting for an inpatient or day case procedure. Minister Donnelly has thanked the efforts of workers and hospitals in the region to lower the numbers on waiting lists.
Drivers in Donegal are being urged to take extreme care as a status yellow snow ice warning for the county has been extended until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Meanwhile, a yellow alert for low temperatures and ice remains in effect for the entire country until 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Freezing temperatures are expected again overnight. Gridders were deployed by Donegal County Council at 4 o'clock this afternoon and are scheduled to recommence gritting at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. The Garda Representative Association has criticised suggestions Reserve Gardaí will be deployed to areas with a high number of migrants. It's one of the measures being considered to provide additional resources to the 10 regions taking in the most migrants in the country, which includes Donegal. Extra nurses in GP surgeries and more English language teachers are also being examined. President of the GRA, Donegal-based Garda, Brendan O'Connor, doesn't think deploying Reserve Gardaí is realistic.
There's a very little uptake, very little interest in it, and people are leaving that in their droves. So, again, if the people are available, there may be a role for them, but we don't see it, and certainly the facts don't stack up.
A man arrested in connection with the discovery of 14 people in a shipping container at Rosslare Europort has been released without charge. A file will now be prepared for the Director of Public Prosecutions. Gardaí were alerted to 9 men, 3 women and 2 young girls arriving into the country in Wexford on January the 8th. They were notified by UK police after a call was made from inside the container. The Agriculture Minister says China's resumption of beef imports is a positive development for the beef sector in Donegal. The resumption of exports from Ireland to China was confirmed following a meeting between Minister Charlie McConnogh and Chinese Premier Li Qiang yesterday. The market was closed to Ireland after a case of atypical BSC was detected last November in a dead 10-year-old cow. Minister McConnogh says a quick resolve of the issue was important.
It's very welcome and it's particularly important, say, for counties like our own, because beef farming, along with sheep farming, but suckler beef farming is really important in our county. And my focus as Minister is to do all I can to make sure farmers are getting the best return for the beef that they're producing. And 90% of the beef that we produce in Donegal is exported abroad. So having access to markets is really important, and particularly new and emerging markets. We export to 70 markets across the world, but the Chinese market is our 6th most important market for ag food in general. And since the middle of November, we have been blocked out as a result of an atypical BSE case. But with massive and significant work from my own team engaging with Chinese authorities, and also a cross-government approach, which as part of the Chinese Prime Minister's visit yesterday culminated, thankfully, in the confirmation of access reopening as of yesterday for Irish beef. So that's really welcome. It's about 2.5 months that it took for the resumption of this trade. The last time this happened, it took 2.5 years. So it was really important that that didn't happen again, that we got a quick resumption so we have confidence in that market, so we can build it up to be as strong as possible. And I look forward now to our food companies rebuilding and getting back into the market, building that up, and ultimately then delivering the return in terms of that market for Irish farmers, and particularly important for Donegal agriculture in the months and years ahead.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, where the big winter sale is now on. Get 30% of all the official Donegal GAA Peak range. Also great savings on runners and leisure wear, in store and online.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with golf. Rory McIlroy is 4 off the pace following a 1-under par opening round 71 at the Dubai Desert Classic. There's a 4-way tie for the lead with Rasmus Højgaard, Andy Sullivan, Cameron Young and Ho Tong Lee all on 5-under. Tom McKibben finished today level. Padraig Harrington 1-over. Shane Lowry's first round at the American Express and the PGA Tour is just underway. While on the LPGA Tour, Leona Maguire's level par after her first 2 holes at the Tournament of Champions. Gabby Lopez is the course leader in Orlando on 5-under. In tennis, it was 3:40 a.m. Melbourne time when men's third seed Daniel Medvedev booked his Australian Open third round place. He came from 2 sets to love down to beat Finn El Rosveri in 5. Medvedev's reward is a meeting with Felix Auger as a seaman round 3. Second seed Carlos Alcaraz needed 4 sets to see off Lorenzo Sonego, but the 8th seed Holger Rune lost out in 4 sets to the French wildcard Arthur Cazu. Women's 3rd seed Elena Rybakina and 5th seed Jessica Pegula were both beaten today, but the top seed Iga Świątek needed 3 sets to defeat former Melbourne finalist Danielle Collins and goes through to the next round. In motorsports, reigning junior WRC champion William Creighton will step up to WRC 2, the second tier of the World Rally Championship this year. Creighton and co-driver Liam Regan will compete in 7 events, starting in Sweden from the 15th to the 18th of February. Northern Ireland driver Creighton, who is part of the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy, will pilot an M Sport Ford Fiesta Rally 2 car alongside Regan. To football, it's reported that former Liverpool player Steven Gerrard is set to extend his stay in Saudi Arabia. It's understood he has agreed a new 2-year contract with El Etifek until 2027. On the rugby front, Bundiaki, Tiernan O'Halloran and Finlay Beelam are among the names restored to Connacht's starting 15 for tomorrow night's Champions Cup showdown with Bristol. Pete Watkins has made 8 changes to the team beaten in Leon last week. Lock Joe Joyce will start against his former side, with Connacht needing a win to stay in the competition. Defeat on penalties to Spain cost the Ireland hockey side their first opportunity to qualify for the Olympic women's competition. Their semi-final had finished goalless in Valencia. Ireland's second bite of the cherry will come against the losers of this afternoon's other semi-final, which puts Belgium against Great Britain. Ireland's women cricketers won the first one-day international with Zimbabwe via the Duckworth-Lewis method in Harare earlier today. Rain had curtailed Ireland's chase to 109 runs after the hosts had made 170 from just under 43 overs. The sides will meet again on Sunday. In horse racing, the 2022 Cheltenham Gold Cup winner A-plus Starred has been retired. The chaser, trained in Waterford by Henry de Bromhead, won the blue ribbon of the sport by 15 lengths under jockey Rachel Blackmore. Just a couple of notices due to the adverse weather conditions. Friday's race meeting at the Lifford Greyhound Stadium has been postponed. The card will now be run on Friday, the 26th of January. And the Letterkenny Gaels AGM, which is scheduled for this evening, that has been cancelled due to the weather. Finally, the Score programme returns for a new season later this evening. Chris Ashmore will look ahead to the FAI Junior Cup games for Letterkenny Rovers, Cockhill Celtic and Buncrana Hearts. But I'll be previewing Glenn's All-Ireland Club Final, the Dr McKenna Cup Final between Donegal and Derry, and the season opener for the Donegal Senior Ladies in Laois. It's all part of the Score tonight after the 7 o'clock news. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisín. For weather now, very cold with widespread sharp to severe frost tonight, along with icy stretches and patches of freezing fog. It will be cold with lowest temperatures of -5 to -2 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. A woman has been taken to hospital following a crash near Glenties this afternoon. Gardaí and emergency services attended the scene of the single car road traffic incident on the Ardragh Road, which occurred at around 2 o'clock. A formal complaint is to be lodged this week to the EU on behalf of defective block homeowners in a bid to increase pressure on the EU Commission to take action against the Irish state on the defective concrete crisis. The publishing of a report from EU Parliament following a mission to Donegal in November to see firsthand the impact of homeowners is imminent. It's been confirmed that the HSE is to hold a meeting to discuss the future of the Letterkenny Counselling Service, currently operating from the Rafodi Austin Centre. If money to fund a full-time director is not made available, then the service will cease to operate from March. And there were 10,500 fewer patients on hospital waiting lists in the North West at the end of 2023. That's according to Health Minister Stephen Donnelly in an update released on progress made to address hospital waiting lists across the region. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about how Donegal beef could be heading to China and a lambing and calving information event in Inishowen. But first, a new Farmers Political Party was officially registered by the Register of Political Parties last Friday. The Farmers Alliance, founded by Inishowen sheep farmer Liam McLaughlin, wants to be a new voice for farmers and rural Ireland. It's strongly opposed to many Green Party policies in agriculture and also wants a tightening on immigration controls. On the 9 to Noon show this morning with Greg Hughes, Liam explained that there has been a huge reaction to becoming what is the 29th registered political party in the state.
It just seems to have exploded. The support has grown massively, and we went through a lot of effort there to get the party registered. But in fairness, the registrar office, etc., worked very well with us to get it across the line. And at the moment, we're busy concentrating on candidates across the country. Seems to be a lot of interest there, but there's a lot of work has to go into it now. Interviews are ongoing, etc., with candidates, and we have a massive workload ahead of us, but we do believe from the feedback on the ground that we can definitely achieve a lot here, you know.
Well, it's been reported that the party has 40 potential candidates for the forthcoming local elections, and it also intends to look at the European elections as well as the next Dáil election. Co-founder Helen O'Sullivan from West Cork also joined Greg on the show and outlined how the Farmers Alliance is holding interviews with potential election candidates.
We're currently at the moment, we're holding interviews. We have an awful lot of people that have made contact with us via our website, which is www.farmsalliance.ie. And again, if any of your listeners are interested, you know, please come to us. We are looking for, I suppose what we're looking for, the qualities we're looking for in the people really, Greg, is just a bit of common sense, really, you know, to try and make our country better. And we just want to have policies that will fix, we feel our system is broken here in this country at the moment. So we hope to field candidates all around the country. And yes, the local elections will be first, there's European and then the general. But like you say, the general election may come sooner than what we had anticipated. We're only newly formed. You know, we would definitely hope to have one in you know, Donegal County, but better again if we could have one in every municipal constituency for the local elections. That would be preferable. So again, like I've mentioned, you know, to your listeners, if anyone is interested, please contact us via the website, www.farmers.alliance.ie, and get in touch, because, you know, we've set this up, but we need the people to help us build this, Greg, you know, so, and that's what we need to do.
And Liam, what about sort of, you know, maybe current sitting independent councillors, or even those that maybe feel, you know, disgruntled from within a party? Has there been any, do you anticipate you will gather any members that way, or has there been any, you know, feelers put out, or what's the story?
We've had contact from disgruntled people from other parties that are mad to get out of the parties, but at the moment we are going to go on without getting involved with other parties, because I think, to be quite honest, the brand that they were attached to would do us more harm than good at the moment. We've done a poll online, and 96% of the people come back and told us not to get involved with independents or other parties.
Really?
So sticking to that, yeah.
That's really interesting. Is it? Were you surprised by that sort of feedback?
I was very surprised, but especially that this was actually done in a kind of rural community poll, and I was very surprised that they actually rejected the independents as well. Yeah. You know, because we were talking to independents in the early days, and I'm a great believer in working off feedback, so I'm going to stick to that and move forward by ourselves, and I do believe new faces is the answer, you know.
Liam McLaughlin of the Farmers Alliance. Irish beef has once again been granted access to the Chinese market. It's a good news story for Irish farming. I've been speaking with Tyrone native Phelim O'Neill, who is the agribusiness market specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Yes, Chris, this, we start off the new year with a good news story in terms of export markets, and will apply to Donegal, of course, and 26 other counties. The trouble with China, unfortunately, is it has been a bit of a stop-start market for Irish exports. We've got approval back, I think it was 2018, and the business was up and running, and then was suspended in 2020 because of a BSE case being discovered. And it was only at the start of last year, January 23, that we got back in. And, of course, then we were out again come November because of the next discovery of a BSE case, an atypical BSE case, which is completely random and is of no issue in any other country in the world apart from China. But that's how it is. So the good news this time is that the suspension was relatively short-lived. It was just a couple of months, but it has been disruptive. You know, China is the biggest beef market in the world, and it's one that maybe it's not going to be the big thing for Irish beef this year, next year, even the following year. But if we're taking a 10-year view and where the growth potential is in world markets, it's very much in Asia, and China's amongst the very best of those Asian markets. And why China's important, you know, if we go back just 10 or a year, we'll go back slightly more now to 2012. At that time, I think China imported something like 60,000 tonnes of beef for that entire year. In 2024, they will import 2.5 million tonnes of beef. That market just took off in the last decade. Now, alongside their demand increasing, Brazilian production increased as well, and Brazil would now supply 1 million tonnes of that import requirement by China. The next biggest suppliers then are Australia, United States, Argentina, Uruguay. So it's quite a small, like 98% of China's beef imports comes from those five countries. Ireland is one of the few European countries that are approved to supply that market. So there is potential there for us. I suppose I keep talking about potential, not something that's going to affect the trade in the next week or two, the next year even, but it is one that's worth watching for the future.
And is there a particular type of cut that the Chinese are interested in?
Well, I suppose there are restrictions on what we can supply. It can only be boneless beef, and they buy a lot of bone-in beef. And it also has to be from cattle under 30 months. But there's a range of four quarter cuts of beef that they would buy large quantities of. And I say we're not qualified to supply them all, but we are qualified to supply a share of them.
So the announcement that Irish beef has been granted access to the Chinese market again, it came this week. But over the last couple of months, there has been a lot going on behind the scenes with the Minister, Charlie McConnellogue, and indeed the department.
There's no doubt that government have invested heavily in promoting the Asian markets. You know, the minister has made frequent trips to Asia, including China, and in 2023, in the autumn, there was a very large delegation from government, the Taoiseach himself, Minister McConnellogue, and Minister Coveney also took part in that sort of full government-led trade mission, if you like. So there has been a big investment in that marketplace, as well as Japan and South Korea. You know, those have been very much focused markets. Haven't delivered big volumes for beef at the moment. The US is at premium end of that market. The US and Australia have it very much controlled. They're the big suppliers. They have the tradition. They have the history. So I suppose Irish exports would be trying to break into it. We're already very well established in those markets for dairy exports, for pig meat exports. Beef, we are a relative newcomer to it.
And that was Phelim O'Neill, Agribusiness Market Specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. In a show, an IFA is hosting a lambing and calving information meeting, and it's taking place on the farm of Dale Hutchinson in Glenelly next Wednesday from 7:30 p.m. Dale, an important meeting for farmers in the region. Can you tell us exactly what they can look forward to?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. First of all, it's a good event for farmers to gather and speak with each other and speak with local companies and representatives. We have guest speakers, and Adrian Gallagher, IFA National Sheep Chairman, and Fidel Matonry, our local vet and the Cairn Vet Clinic, amongst others, talking. And then we'll have local feed companies and local farm supply services, as well as Cairn Agri Products and the Gardaí will be in attendance as well. So look, it promises to be a good evening.
And people don't need to book in advance, they can just arrive down?
They just turn up. Our farm's pretty easy accessible, just on the Vull side of Glenelly. So no, they just turn up and hopefully it'll be a good evening for everybody.
Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notice for this Thursday evening, January the 18th. The death has taken place of Hazel Crumlish, Drummaville, Mallon. Hazel's remains will leave Liam Collins' funeral home at Station Road, Carndonagh, this evening at 6 o'clock, going to her home. Funeral mass for Hazel will take place on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock in St Columbus Church at Ballinacrae, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Family flowers only, or if desired, donations in lieu to ICU Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.